All the time. I just got a bad feeling about today. I don't think today is going to be a good day. Well, why would you use your faith to have a bad day? Isn't that a silly thing to do? Oh, I just got this feeling, and then something bad happens, and you're like, I knew it! And you start bragging about this wisdom that you have, that God gave you insight into your bad day. No, you just prophesied a bad day, and you experienced it. You just stubbed your toe on the kitchen table, and you're like, I knew that the enemy was going to attack me today. You got to believe you're going to get through this. You have to believe whatever situation you're in, whatever circumstance you're in, the very beginning of faith is believing that you're going to get out. Amen? It has to start there. It has to begin there. So, Hebrews chapter 11. This is a wonderful chapter. We call it the Hall of Fame of Faith because the author goes into all these long lists about these people who have lived by faith. And he gives a little summary of their story and what they've been known for throughout the biblical narrative. And so they declare, there's this repetition, by faith, Abel, by faith, Noah, by faith, Moses, by faith, Abraham, by faith, Sarah, by faith, and on and on and on. We get a glimpse into these people who lived a faithful life. And I want us to just look at one of those persons this morning in order to help us in our faith. And it's in verse 11. Here we are, Hebrews 11, 11. It's quite easy to remember. Listen to this. This is Sarah, the wife of Abraham. It says this. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Now that's a powerful story. For those of you who don't know, here's the story in a nutshell. Abraham and Sarah. God shows up to Abraham and tells him that he is going to be the father of many nations. He's in his 70s, doesn't have any children. You're going to be the father of a great multitude. Sarah's in her 60s, Abraham's in his 70s. Now 25 years go by. No kids. Abraham and Sarah have not had any kids together, and you'll know what I mean if you read the story. They don't have kids yet. 25 years go by. Now, it's easy for me to say that in 3 seconds, but 25 years is a long time, and sometimes we forget the magnitude of the biblical story. 25 years go by. 25 years. And God shows up, and he tells Abraham, this time next year, you're going to have a child. This time next year, you're going to have a child. Abraham's 99 years old. Come on, don't pretend that, you know, you've read the story 100 times, so you just believe it so much. 99 years old, this time next year, you're going to have a child. Well, God, I mean, compared to 99, like it, but when I was in my 70s, I was in my prime. Like, now you wait until I'm 99 and my wife is 90, and now, like, you weren't able to do anything in 25 years, but now you're going to do it? This time next year, you're going to have a child. Now, some of you in the room maybe are believing to get pregnant. Probably none of you who are in your 90s, however. You're like, you know what, God, I'd really appreciate it if I didn't get this blessing in my life. That would be more of a curse, really. Be careful what you pray for. Did you know how Abraham and Sarah got pregnant? Nobody wants to answer that question in church. Yeah, that too, but I mean, by faith. Did you know that you can get pregnant by faith? Come on, where are the young adults here, newly married, anybody? You can get pregnant by faith. You can actually, see, some people just think that you use your faith to get saved. You can have babies by faith. It says that Sarah received power to conceive. She received power to conceive and to bear a child when she was 90 years old. Now, just based upon biological facts, this was a challenge. This was a challenge. But my point isn't about getting pregnant. My point is this. Faith can lay a hold of things that in the natural, they seem impossible. Not only that, it says that she received power to conceive even when she was past the age. That means that faith can lay hold of things that seem overdue. Let me give you an example of how I see this playing out. Have you ever promised someone that you would pray for them on a particular day? Maybe they were going for surgery. Maybe they had an important business meeting. Maybe they had something going on and you said, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray that that goes well. August 6th, someone's got something going on. And now it's August 7th and you remember. And you're like, oh, it's too late. I missed my opportunity to pray. Have you ever thought of that before? You felt you were too late. You missed it. Let me tell you, you're not. You're not. Why? Because God is outside of time. And so even though Sarah was past the age, and that's a literal age, here's what I'm saying. If you're past the time, you can still pray and change a situation that happened before you prayed. Some of us are a little confused. Here's how this works. God is outside of time, and so he hears your prayer. He knows you're going to pray that prayer even before you pray it, even before that person's surgery, that business meeting, that whatever. He hears your prayer beforehand, and he takes it into account and changes the circumstance before that happens. Now, this just blesses me because I forget things. I forget things. It is never too late. See, sometimes we reach a situation, a scenario in our lives, and we think it's too late. I have to stop praying for that miracle because it's done. No, it's not. You can never say God didn't answer my prayer. You can say he hasn't answered it yet. See, it's never, never too late. So Sarah was past the age of childbearing. And here it is. You want to know the key to faith? Sarah figured it out. How did she do it? She considered him faithful who had promised. From Sarah's perspective, her natural ability to bear a child and her husband's natural ability to bear a child were no longer determining factors in whether or not they could bear a child. Isn't that amazing? Their resources, what they had to deal with, had nothing to do with the outcome. Faith gets to the point where it doesn't matter what you have access to. God is bigger. You are not limited to your natural abilities. She considered him faithful who had promised. So here's what faith does. It causes you to look outside of your circumstances and look towards God. It causes you to get your eyes off of your problems and to look at God who is bigger. And in the face of barrenness and infertility, Sarah was able to say, I consider him faithful. Listen, I'm past the age of childbearing. Doesn't matter. I consider him faithful who had promised. If God says I'm going to have a child this time next year, so be it. So be it. And I believe that most of us, we don't believe that we can receive the promises of God because we base our faith on our own faithfulness. You know, the word faith comes, the word faith is faithfulness. It's a part of that. It's kind of a connection there. Thank you. It's a little too quiet this morning. Faith and faithfulness. Here's what I believe hinders our ability to pray in faith. We shrink back because we remember all the times that we've been unfaithful. So here's how this looks. You don't watch what you eat. You don't make sure you get enough rest. And you get sick. Now you see your faithlessness in taking care of your own body and you don't feel like you can pray and ask God to heal you. You have bad money spending habits, and so you don't feel like you can pray in faith asking God to help you heal your financial situation. And this happens, you can go through every circumstance in your life. We shrink back in our faith because we're examining our own faithfulness and we see how unfaithful we are. Here's what Sarah grabbed a hold of that we need to. Our faith is not based in our faithfulness, it's based in His. How faithful is God? Extraordinarily faithful. Okay, good, then I can still pray in faith and receive my miracle. Our faith needs to be based in His faithfulness. It has nothing to do with your mistakes, your sin, your shortcomings. And yet that's what we do. We shrink back. And Sarah realized faith is about who God is. I put my faith in Him. So I don't believe that God's going to be good to me because I've been good to God. I just believe that He's a good God, and so He's going to be good to me. See, what happens is we start superimposing our own selves onto God. And if we feel like we're having a bad day, we feel like God's having a bad day. Isn't that a strange thing? Isn't that a strange thing? We feel down. We feel like we're not walking in victory. We feel like we're struggling. And so for some reason, we think that God's struggling. And we feel like we can't pray and ask God to do something because we're like, wow, I'm just so down. And so Sarah was able to see past this. So we feel like we've missed it. But here's what we need to know. It's never too late with God. It's never too late with God. It's never too late with God. There is no time constraints on Him. You can keep praying for that miracle. You know, the death wasn't the end for people. Jesus brought people back to life. Now, I'm not suggesting that you start going to grave sites and practicing your faith. I'm not suggesting that. But if somebody dies prematurely, and I don't mean at a young age, although that included, but prematurely as in before their destiny has been fulfilled, then we can pray for that person to be raised from the dead. That's nothing for God. Jesus said, these works you will do, and greater. Another thing we pull from Hebrews 11:1, we can pull it up, Hebrews 11:1 in the King James there. First three words. Now faith is. When is faith? It's now. See, we tend to push faith off into the future. You know what? I believe one day I'll have faith for that. I believe one day I'm gonna finally know enough about Jesus. I'm gonna finally memorize enough scripture verses that I'll have faith. And we just keep pushing it off into the future. Eventually I'm gonna have faith. Eventually, once I reach that point, eventually I'm gonna be able to have faith. And I'm gonna be able to pray effectively and see God do things. That's incorrect. Faith is only operative in the now. Faith is always in the present. Always in the present. You think, well, I don't know if I can have faith for that. You have to. Now's the time. Now is the time that you need faith. And so you always use it in the now. It's what you do between amen and there it is. You know, that's the most difficult time in a believer's life. The time between when you say amen and the time when the prayer is answered. That is the most challenging season in the life of a believer. What to do between amen and there it is. What do? You have faith. You stand in faith. And today, you have faith for today. And when tomorrow becomes today, you have faith for today. And when the next day becomes today, you have faith for today. Every day, now faith is. It's a daily decision to live in faith. Yeah, but Pastor Tim, you just don't know how bad things have gotten in my marriage. Here's the good news about your bad marriage. It's not based on your faithlessness. It's based on His faithfulness. So we just can't heal from this season. No. I'm not dealing with your faithlessness. I'm dealing with His faithfulness. He is faithful. Sarah considered Him faithful. I'm not dealing with your own inability to live a perfect life. That's all of us included. And you read, this is the whole story of the narrative of Scripture. You read through the Old Testament, and it's the people of God continually, they're faithless. Oh God, we'll worship You, we'll serve You, we'll do everything that You say. Gee, it's been a couple seconds since we've heard from God. Maybe we should make an idol and worship that. Continually turning their backs on God and being faithless over and over and over and over and over and over again. And every time God says, that's okay, I'll be faithful to you. Every time God says, I'm for you. I'm with you. I'll give you another chance. I'll give you another opportunity. Every time God is so faithful. And so when we have seasons where we need to stand in faith, it's based on His faithfulness and not our faithlessness. This summer, my family and I have been spending a lot of time in the pool. which is wonderful. And but last summer, when we went in, we took our little guy, Kenneth, into the pool. But last year, he was only a couple months old. And so it's been a while since last summer. And so this, I mean, last year, he loved it. This year, when we start putting our 14-month-old in the pool, he had this look in his eyes like we were going to murder him. There's some trust issues there that we have to deal with. He was terrified, which, I mean, he loves the bathtub, and we're just like, hey, it's a big bathtub. Like, here we go. We're going to go in the bathtub. And you could see it in his eyes. It's like when we got in the pool, it's like he had a picture of us just going, swim! We'll pray for you! Have faith! He was terrified. Fussing, squirming, out, all done. He's like using... like he's got like maybe 25 words that he knows, and he's just shouting all of them that he knows. Out, all done. We're like, again? And he's like, all done. Get me out of the pool. Why was he scared of the water? Because he didn't trust. I mean, I said a joke, it's trust issues. It really was. He didn't trust that we were going to keep holding on to him when we were in the water. He thought maybe we were just going to let him do what we were doing, swimming around. He didn't feel confident that mom and dad were taking care of him. And so there was fear. Now, from a parent's perspective, was there any reason for him to be afraid? None whatsoever. Because we knew we would never let him go. We're holding on to him. We've got him. I mean, he's fully embraced in our arms. There was no logical reason for him to be afraid, and yet... from his perception, I don't remember ever being in a pool before. I don't know how to get out of the pool. I don't know how to get out of this situation. And so he became overwhelmed with fear. From Sarah's perspective, you got a reason to not trust God. I'm 90 years old. Never had a child, been declared barren, and I'm past the age. And now I'm going to have a child. But from God's perspective, it's as simple as a parent holding their child in a pool. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? That's what he asked Sarah. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Now, as the days went by, we kept putting him back in the pool because we were determined he needed exposure if you're going to get comfortable in the pool. So we keep going in as often as we could. And every day, he'd stay in a little bit longer. Every day, just a little bit longer. Okay, I'm trusting you a little bit more. Hey, Dad hasn't dropped me yet in the water, only a few times at home. No. It was once, and I caught him before he hit the ground. So every day he's getting a little bit more trust. Until last week, a couple weeks ago, he sees his older cousins shooting down the slide into the pool. And he's like, slide. You don't know how to swim, and Dad might not catch you. No, I'm just kidding. Right? He wants to do the slide now. So now he starts going down the slide, and he's having the time of his life. Time of his life, loving it, loves it. What changed? Nothing circumstantially. We were still the same mom and dad. It wasn't like, you know what, you're right. I'm not qualified to be here. Let's get in another dad to take care of you in the pool. We didn't change the water level. We didn't say, it's okay, you know what, I understand that you're scared. Let's lower the water in the pool. How many times have you asked God to change your circumstances to make you more comfortable? Probably not going to do it. That's not how that works. You know that, right, parents? We don't do that as parents. We say, this is the way that it is. This is the way life is. This is how high the water is. You're going to have to learn to deal with it. Nothing circumstantially changed. What changed? Faith. Something happened in Kenneth. Where he decided, something happened where at a certain point in time, he realized, I can have faith in mom and dad. I can trust them. They're not going to let me go. And so how many of us is God calling into deeper waters? And we don't want to go. We're terrified because we see waves. We see sharks. We don't want to go. God, I can't do that. And if you could only see things from his perspective, he's going, I got you. I'm not going to let you fall. If I call you to do something, I'm not going to go, hey, have fun, have faith. He's not going to let go of you. He's going to hold on to you. So Kenneth gets in the pool. How did he do it? By faith. By faith. By faith. Abel. By faith. Moses. What I'm saying? By faith. Kenneth got in the pool. Even though he was scared out of his swim diaper. He conquered kingdoms and... Okay, no, that's not biblical. That's just... Okay. I don't know if you've ever read through Hebrews chapter 11 like I have, and as encouraging as it is to hear the faith thing, I've often found myself discouraged. Because I read about all these great people in here, by faith Abel, by faith Enoch, by faith Noah, by faith Abraham, by faith Sarah. And then I've looked at my life and gone, yeah, I don't think that that's my story. You ever felt that way? I mean, sure, that was Moses, but I mean, he's a big deal. I'm just me. I don't know if you've had this struggle before. I've read through the Bible and constantly had this as an attacking thought. Well, yeah, but that's Noah. He was saving the universe. You're just concerned, you just want to lose 10 pounds. Like, your struggle's a little bit different than his. You ever felt that way? Right? You try to apply the Bible to your situation, and then you realize how much more significant the biblical story seems than yours. And then you're back to not having any faith. Well, this is what's happened to me. So I can read through this, and if you're anything like me, you can compare yourself to all these people, and you can go, Sarah received power to conceive a child? Oh my. I have a hard time having faith to make my car payments. You ever felt that way? Can I encourage you? Can I tell you a little bit more of Sarah's story? When God came, she was 90 years old. Abraham's 99 years old. God came and spoke to Abraham, and he said, this time next year, I tell you what, you are going to have a child. You know where Sarah was? She's outside the tent, listening in. The Lord said, am I going to have a child? What'd she do? She laughed. Does that sound like faith to you? She laughed. That's ridiculous. How much faith did she have that that word was true? Absolutely none whatsoever. Now can you relate to Sarah? You ever had something calling on you, tugging on your heart? This is where God's leading you, and you just have no faith whatsoever. You just laugh at it. Yeah, that'd be nice, but... Sarah laughs at God. And God asks Abraham, why did Sarah laugh? And Sarah is so embarrassed that she lies and denies it. I didn't laugh. I had something in my throat. I just had some bread, and there's a tickle in my throat here. I didn't laugh. God says, is there anything too hard for the Lord? Excuse me. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? No. Okay, then do we have a problem here? I guess not. Are you going to have a child this time next year? Mm-hmm. What happens? Faith starts coming. You start meditating on the promises of God at first. You find yourself laughing at them. You read through some of the promises in here, and at first, you might start out laughing. Laughing, thinking, yeah, right. This promise is what? If you follow... God, this promise is what? Well, I know A, B, C, D. I can think of 10 situations where that hasn't happened. You can start out laughing at the promises of God, going, yeah, right. That'll never happen. And the more time you spend meditating on it, the more time that you make your heart available to it, faith starts coming. And you start becoming assured that, yeah, there's nothing too hard for the Lord. The more that I think about Him, the less that my circumstances seem to matter at all. See, our problem is that we spend much more time thinking about our circumstances than we spend thinking about our God. And so I think the biggest idol that we have in our lives today is our circumstances. We worship them, and we give them power. Well, they're the ones who determine, well, my boss, well, this, the economy, Well, why are you worshiping the economy? Well, I'm not worshiping the economy. Are you making it an idol in your life? Is the price of gas something that startles you and shakes you off your shoes? Well, then you're making it an idol in your life, and without even knowing it, you are worshiping the economy. You've got idols in your lives because we focus on our circumstances rather than God. So, Lord says this, is anything too hard for the Lord? Here's Sarah, woman of faith. She laughs. I want to encourage you this morning because that's the true story. Sarah started out with zero faith. And do you know what Hebrews records? By faith, Sarah received power to conceive even when she was past the age because she considered him faithful who promised. Now, if you read the original story and then you read Hebrews 11:11, you're thinking, okay, something's missing there. That's kind of a glowing report. Shouldn't we have a little bit more truth in there? Here's what I'm illustrating. You might know all of the circumstances of your life and every season of faithlessness, every time that you laughed, every time that you didn't believe God whatsoever. And do you know what the New Testament, because of the New Covenant, is recording? The moments when you stepped out in faith. Author of Hebrews didn't record the laughter. Author of Hebrews recorded, woman of faith. She received power to conceive a child even when she was past the age. Why? Because she considered him faithful who promised. When you step out in faith, that's when heaven starts recording. That's when heaven starts recording. So when you approach God and you're saying, God, I'm so sorry about this and I missed it here, and you're so unable to enter boldly before the throne, which is what the Bible tells you to do, because you're thinking about all these areas that you missed it, and that's not even what heaven's recording. It's recording the moments of faith, the moments when you decided, I believe you, God. It might have taken you 25 years to get there, and that's what heaven records. That's the thing that heaven records. So a question for you this morning. If God isn't holding that against you, then why are you? I read a church sign this week, it's here in the Falls actually, that said a bad conscience has a good memory. That's true, isn't it? You don't really forget your mistakes easily. You know who does? God. Not because he has a bad memory, because he chooses to. I will remember your sins no more. God doesn't forget them, he chooses to remember them. He chooses to not remember them. He chooses to. Let's take a look at Hebrews 11:1 in the Amplified. And it's wordy and it's long and it's hard to memorize, but it's so good. Hebrews 11:1 in the Amplified. There we go. Now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title, deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality. And here's this last statement I want us to look at. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. Faith is an assurance that no matter what you're going through, God is good, God is there, and God has a plan. Doesn't matter what your circumstances are. Now, when we approach one another, we often ask a polite question. We ask, how are you doing? Or how's it going? Two common phrases that we ask people when we approach them. How are you doing and how's it going? They're two very different questions, and we tend to answer them one and the same. We tend to say, oh, I'm good, or it's good, and we kind of move on. They're two very different questions. If I ask you, how is it going? I'm asking you about your circumstances. How's it going? Tell me what's going on in your family. Tell me what's going on at work. How's it going? I'm looking for some real insight. How can I pray for you? How's it going? It's a good question. You need to know your circumstances. The other question is even more important. It's how are you doing? Yeah, I know. I know that those are your circumstances. I understand that those are the struggles that you're facing. I understand that the CRA is on you about that, and I understand that you're going through this conflict over here, and I understand that your marriage is like this, but how are you doing? See, what is tremendously more important than your circumstances is how you're doing in the midst of your circumstances. You know, your circumstances don't have to shake you. So people ask, well, how are you doing? You say, pretty good under the circumstances. Well, what are you doing under your circumstances? What are you hanging around under there for? Well, I'm pretty good under the circumstances. What? I'm sorry. What a stupid place to be. I'm doing great considering the circumstances which are under my feet. There's a good response for you. I'm doing great. Now, I didn't say that everything was peachy. See, sometimes we give answers like that and we think, oh, they're just avoiding conflict. They're just hiding what's really going on. No. This is how I'm doing in the midst of my circumstances. I am doing fantastic. I didn't say I didn't have any problems. I didn't say I didn't have struggles. I didn't say that there are things that I'm praying about. I didn't say that there are things that I'm currently frustrated about. I didn't say that there aren't battles waging war against me. I just said I'm doing good. And I'm convinced more than I ever have before that our circumstances matter very little. And how you're doing matters a whole lot. Circumstances can be tough. Life can be tough. You know what Jesus says? In this world, you will have trouble. You will have trials. You will have tribulation. You will get used to it. This is how deep the water is. But come on in for a swim. I got you. I got you. Here's the key to faith. Consider him faithful. Consider him faithful. Consider him faithful. And his faithfulness washes away every concern that you could ever have, every thought that would keep you up at night. His faithfulness washes it away. You could be declaring bankruptcy, scheduled for open heart surgery, family ripped apart at every side, and you could sleep like a baby at night. Because the peace of God, which passes all understanding, could just overwhelm you. Why? Because you just chose to trust in him. Well, I'll believe it when I see it. No, you won't. You know when you start believing? Now. Gee, I wonder when I should start having faith. Now. 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 I'm going to have faith for today. Now. Jesus says, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow has enough reasons for you to need your faith for tomorrow. Just leave it there. Deal with the now. What do you need faith for today? God, give me faith for right now, this moment. Right now. Let's stand together. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your faithfulness, that you, O God, are immovable, that you, O God, are unshakable, that there is nothing too hard for you, Father God. And so we just lift up all of our circumstances to you right now, and we release them into your care. We release them into your care, and we refuse to live in fear, but we choose to live in faith right now. A faith is the substance of the thing that I hope for, and I put my hope in you. I put my hope in you. And so I have it. By faith right now, I have the answer to my prayer. By faith right now, I have peace in my life. When anxiety is flooding, when fear is surrounding you, you say, by faith, I have it right now. I have peace in my life. When you can't sleep at night, you declare, by faith, I sleep peacefully in Jesus' name. You don't wait till you fall asleep to feel like you're sleeping well. You say it first. So Heavenly Father, we just bless your name today. We thank you that faith would arise within us. We thank you, Lord, for it in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. 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 I'm going to ask our prayer team to come forward, and if you'd like prayer for anything this morning, please make yourself available to them. Come on up right now, those of you who are part of our prayer team, and they'll be up here for you to pray with. But if you're not going to come up, God bless you. We love you, and we'll see you again next Sunday. Surround me with soul. I've delivered.